So, hey, everybody, this is Eric Mann. You're on with Voices from the Frontlines, your 4 o'clock drive time, walk time, bicycle time, public affairs hour on KPFK 90.7 FM. We're going to have now Hamid Khan, who I know well is a tremendous organizer and activist and analyst of social movements, of many things, and certainly on the particular issue of police repression and the growing information state. He's going to talk about the surveillance practices of the Los Angeles Police Department, especially by LAPD surveillance of grassroots activists and social movements, and we're going to talk about it in the context of the growing information dictatorship. Hamid Khan helped to co-found the Los Angeles Taxi Workers Alliance. He's the executive director of the South Asian Network, or was. In 2005, Khan helped to co-found the Los Angeles Taxi Workers Alliance, I told you that, which is one 2 meter rate increases in the creation of a $15 airport minimum fee, which resulted in more than $22 million in additional annual income for the 4,000 taxi drivers in L.A. So how you doing, Hamid?
I'm good. I'm good, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. A lot of our listeners are having a great old time on their Facebook and their Twitter and their cell phones and giving each other their names and signing on to all kinds of petitions for products and buying their products with their credit cards. Is this a gift to the LAPD?
It is more than a gift to the LAPD. Let me just put it this way. This is something that now we are seeing this rapidly developing the surveillance industrial complex, which clearly goes to show that how state capitalism is working in full force. And just to quickly give you a quick snapshot, there was a really good investigative report done by Washington Post, back in 2010, and which indicated the amount of money that is involved in this whole development of the surveillance industrial complex. You have close to about 1,931 private corporations at that time involved, and then you have almost every police department in the country that is actively engaged in surveillance and spying activities. Now, bringing it specifically to L.A., and without going too much into history, obviously, we know the history of the Red Squads and the Public Disorder Intelligence Divisions of the LAPD and the COINTELPRO FBI. But unlike the previous times, Eric, where most of these programs were covert, secretive, illegal, and engaged in various other contexts of extrajudicial killings and smearing camp, lies and everything. This new policy directive, which was issued by the former chief of LAPD, William Bratton, in March of 2008, is Special Order 11. It basically just, the way it's set up, that it infringes on privacy and civil liberties and essentially legitimizes spying by local law enforcement, hence promoting racial profiling. What's unique about this is that all of this is done based upon what is termed as observed behavior, a completely speculative and arbitrary concept, which really takes on the Big Brother to a new level and this whole predictive policing to a new level.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm very confused because I thought Chief Bratton was this very cool guy. I saw him on a lot of talk shows. He's a nice looking guy. His wife is a TV celebrity. Would he do something like that to us?
Well, if you remember his history coming from New York and what he introduced, he was one of the first ones to introduce the zero tolerance policy based on this theory of criminology, which is called broken windows.
Right.
And that's when as the chief of the transit, he basically became a hero for Giuliani at the time. But Bratton is also one of those people who started this whole notion of computerized statistical model in New York as well, where they were mapping various communities. So Bratton comes with a long history of this very deep sort of surveillance-driven, militarized kind of policing. And now, ironically, he's the head of one of the largest security firms in the world, called the Kroll Corporation. Which ironically you were talking about Occupy, and Bratton was tapped by the UC system to investigate what happened at UC Davis. So Bratton has a very, very long history of being in the right place. He's very slick. And the policy, and then he brought that the broken window policy into Los Angeles with the initiation of Safer City Initiative in Skid Row starting in 2006. So, which has resulted in basically a lot of cleansing and, you know, just attrition of homeless people out of Skid Row. And the very first year, they issued almost 10,000 jaywalking tickets to Skid Row residents. So,
well,
Bratton is no friend by any means.
Yeah, and to our listeners, you know, I try occasionally to try to put forth what the public superficial response is and how one of the decadent developments of our society in People magazine is people actually develop affections for public figures based on a certain persona. And when I said, well, he wouldn't do a thing like this, obviously, not have to explain my ironies here, but it is a question of sometimes people will think that. If somebody looks like Darth Vader, they think that maybe he'll do a bad thing. But the broken windows theory, just for another second, is very frightening, because what it said was that we start arresting people at the most minor crimes, and this is theoretically a way to stop the evolution to major crimes. But all it really does is start arresting poor people for virtually every single behavior. On in terms of the terrific work of Pete White, Becky Dennison, the whole L.A. Can, the amazing work that they've done in Skid Row against just a virtual police state against the poor. One of the things that I'm very interested in, Hamid, is that, you know, I'm teaching a class on organizing, and with my wife, Leanne Hurstman, and a bunch of us, we do a lot of work about the concept of hegemony and counter-hegemony. And obviously, hegemony being the way that the system operates to get you to voluntarily agree with its own values, so you don't even think you're being violated, because you think things like, I don't want any government aid because I want to pull myself up by my bootstraps, or I do want the government to know all my information because I'm worried about terrorism and my civil liberties are not as important as, you know, after all, as they say, if I have nothing to hide, why am I worried? And third, you have the crazy stuff where people are so lonely, so depressed, that they live on their Facebook, they live on their Twitter. And if you tell them a simple thing like your cell phone has now become a GPS device, their reaction is, yeah, that's probably not too good. But anyway, I love my cell phone. Did you see my new smartphone? It's like, we're living in a very bizarre world where people's attachment to these devices and the deep alienation in society is leading to the difficulty of building a movement against the police state.
Absolutely. And so I think what's really important is that you're correct. I mean, on all fronts, what you've just raised, I think. But what's really sort of different about what is happening now, in addition to what you just said, Eric, was that you don't even have to be on a device. You don't even have to be on Facebook. You don't have to be on Twitter. It is the Special Order 11 criminalizes you just for being. And the reason I say that is that they have created a list of these behaviors, which is quite a few of them are your daily non-criminal type activities. For example, taking photographs in public, using binoculars, drawing diagrams, taking notes, walking into an office asking about hours of operation. So just for example, the Strategy Center young organizers, DRU organizers, folks who are doing community rights work, people who are doing housing rights work, if you're out there, the young activists use these cameras and these things all the time. So now next thing what happens is that if that is observed by a cop, then they file a suspicious activity report on people, which then goes to Major Crimes Division, and from there it's routed into a central location called the Fusion Center. And in essence, this is like a central location through which every local law enforcement agency in the country, including rural police, transit police, and campus police, and every federal agency in the country, including the military, the CIA, and private contractors, and not just the Homeland Security type agencies, but every federal agency has access to your information. And then if in the Fusion Center they look at this suspicious activity report, some person is sitting there who makes a decision within 24 hours whether a national security investigation should be triggered against you. So here you are, you know, if you're out there watching birds but through your binoculars, next thing you know, your name is in the Major Crimes Division. You never have a record. So it really raises a lot of questions. One, that it criminalizes daily behavior. Number two, that this is a dream come true for a police department to gather data on people, because typically data is gathered by when you make some sort of a contact. Like you said, if you're using your Twitter, your cell phone, you're using your credit card, your ATM card, now you're just minding your own business, pull out your cell phone and take a photograph. Next thing you know, your private information goes somewhere. Thirdly, it legitimizes spying for the police, unlike previously covert operations. Fourth, it becomes a pretext for investigation. So, you know, I mean, like anybody can be investigated. And then lastly, I think one of the big concerns, talking to some of the other criminal justice folks, is that it has added this new language of observed behavior and reasonable indication, which can lead to, like, up until now in the criminal justice world, we have probable cause, and then the threshold was lowered to reasonable suspicion. But now they have added this completely arbitrary, speculative concept, which could then develop into investigations, into convictions, into incarceration. So we are kind of entering this world of predictive and speculative policing, which we used to see in sci-fi movies.
Well, I mean, this is really amazing. I mean, I've been enjoying the show lately a lot more because I feel that somehow in the interview process, where, I don't know, digging a little deeper, and if you're objective was to get me shaken up, you succeeded. It doesn't feel like information I already knew. It does seem like a qualitative, and we're living at a period of rapidly geometric progressions where in 1 year it could keep geometrically expanding and expanding. So I want to get you back on next time, and Jeff Ramsey Ray, our producer, give you more time, because I'd like to maybe move this through. What are they going to do, and what could we do? What are they going to do, and what could we do? And maybe laying out three or four, as you just did, of the new criteria of simply being observed, and discuss what are the movement tactics in terms of a battle plan. So very nice to have you on the show, Hamid. I learned...
Let me quickly give you the website address.
It's please, please.
www.stoplapdspying.com. All one word, and then we're having a public unveiling of a campaign to go after this on Saturday, March 3rd at 10:30 a.m., and that information is on the website as well, so that'll be at 828 West Washington Boulevard at the SEIU Union Hall.
I'm really glad you said that. I'm sorry that I wasn't aware of that. Say it one more time, because this is much more important than all the bad things they're going to do to you, is what are we going to do back? So repeat the information on me, please.
It's www.stoplapdspying.org is the website, and the community town hall meeting is on Saturday, March 3rd at 10:30 a.m. at the SEIU Union Hall, located at 828 West Washington Boulevard.
And what do you think the cross street is on Washington?
This is just about a block west of the 110 freeway, just a couple blocks north of USC.
Got it. Hamid, thanks so much for being on the show. We'll talk again soon.
You betcha.
That was Hamid Khan doing some terrific investigative work about those who are investigating us, in particular the LAPD.